What beer are you drinking, DM?
So what I'd like to say is...
What beer am I drinking? Don't eat the microphone. Seriously, don't eat the microphone.
Oh, it fell in my lap.
I know I may have said somewhere along the line, don't eat the microphone. Don't eat the microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You're good. You're good about this far away. You're fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So what am I drinking is the question.
I had a two-hearted. I didn't get anybody else a beer.
I'm having a water.
Do
right
I need
now,
to be waitress?
I was thinking about opening up that pumpkin beer that I haven't had. But
go get a pumpkin. Do it.
I was worried that the group would not have enough beers because Deanne's party last night drank all the beer. So I had a
That's
rum
what
and
I was
Coke.
Worried about.
Rum
I,
and Coke.
I have the Snake IPA.
We came
Snake
back.
Snake IPA. Who's that by?
Snake IPA is by...
Flying Dog.
Oh, Flying Dog. I love Flying Dog. I'm not... So, you might like that Snake. That's too hoppy for me.
Actually, that's good beer.
It's okay.
It's a little hoppy for me. Yep. I do like Flying Dog Brewery, though. I like their wheat, and I like their oyster stout.
I'm going to get the pumpkin. I'm going to get a couple glasses. I'll be right back.
All right, why don't you do
You guys
that,
talk
please,
amongst yourselves.
I'll have
get
a pumpkin.
Let me leave you a topic.
We will talk about you when you're gone.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, talk amongst yourself. So I will hold the... opening of this podcast because I think perhaps I should have some chance for this group to pull this off properly this week.
With the intros?
The last time I think we failed miserably. So
last week? Really?
Well, it was pretty bad. In our defense, it seemed it was a slow burn intro.
John and I
were realizing that you were starting the show and... So that, yeah, there was an awkwardness there.
Yes. Yeah. I think so far I have pulled off the intro consistently. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. This is podcast number 9. And welcome to Worldwide IT Guys, podcast number 9. I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
John.
Sean.
And Gavin's here working the board.
Gavin's in the corner, but not working the board. He's working a keyboard. School FM radio producer. Nobody can hear you. Thank you very much, Sean.
He's our fluffer.
Wow, that was probably a bad term, but
what?
Whatever. So we're here. What are we talking about today, guys? Mm. See, part of my problem is I'm now recording.
There's a lot to talk about today.
Do you have something in mind? No, apparently.
Well,
not.
I don't want to be the guy to say Cubs, but
ooh, that was a little.
We could start there with the playoff. You know, the Go playoffs. On. We could. You know, one thing. I'll just tell you, Chicago Cubs fans. It reminds me so much of the early '90s Cleveland Indian teams that got to the playoffs sooner than they should have, and they have a lot of talent, and they're going to be back. And they're going to break your heart on much bigger stages.
Oh God!
If they're anything like my Cleveland Indians, so.
That's fair.
Be ready for that, but they will that's be fun to fair. Watch. They were always fun to watch, and they're a great team. You know,
years of heartbreak is what you're trying to sell Cubs fans now.
That's what I got out of
years.
It.
Years of heartbreak.
You know, maybe that is not
110 years of heartbreak. You want to give them at least 5 more?
Can I just wait? Hang on.
Our friend
what?
Is leaving. I just want to give him a wave.
107 years.
It feels
107 years.
It's at least 150.
We're just saying goodbye to a good friend and
who bought us lunch.
Did he buy us lunch?
Yes, he did.
He did buy us lunch.
Cha-ching.
But speaking of
this podcast finally has a sponsor.
Thank you.
It's HR. Yeah.
This podcast brought to you by HR.
Yes, John?
But I told Steve this morning I literally laid in bed and contemplated telling the group that I was not working from the office today, just because I did not want to see Dion.
And I was
I will say, in Dion's defense, if I may, has not gloated about anything, has not wished the Cubs poorly.
I'm not sure about
that. I feel he's been pretty magnanimous.
Overtly.
I completely agree with you. I have been such a nice White Sox fan to the Cub fans.
He has.
I've shared some things which are funny. They're anti-Cub.
Exactly.
And they were funny. They weren't like mean.
But they're not. I'm not saying like, you know, I really want the Mets to win. They're my favorite team on the planet. I am hoping the Cubs win. I want the Cubs to go. Here's the best case scenario. They are the first team ever to come back from a 3-0 deficit, go to the World Series, and win it. They'd be the first team to do it.
No.
And it took them 107.
No, Boston did it.
Boston did it.
But they were on steroids.
Which we talked about at lunch.
Although their opponents were on steroids, too.
So it happened recently. This isn't anything new. It can totally be done. They have the bats, the pitching, and the team.
This could be the first post-steroids era.
Oh, right. Right.
So basically,
it is the same management, though, if I'm correct, right? True. So.
But I laid in bed this morning and was like, I do not want to see Dion, my good friend.
Dion has not been gloating, though.
I haven't been a dick. God. Yeah.
You've not been gloating. I will go that far. You have not been gloating. Yes.
If you guys have seen the texts that have gone around between me and my other White Sox friends that I have not shared with you.
But this is the point. This is the point.
I am not sharing those. I'm not being that guy.
But Dion,
I have them, and they're hilarious. Hilarious. But I'm not sharing them.
The fact that they're hilarious to you is tantamount to dick. Sorry. Let's move on.
It's the goat. Will you guys just murder that goat?
Right, so on the topic,
Kobayashi needs to eat another goat. He ate one for the first series for the Cardinals. He needs to shred and eat another goat
in the corner. That's not
for
right.
another one.
He's not on mic.
Right? Remember Kobayashi, the hot dog guy? He ate a goat.
He did.
What are you talking about now? Hold on.
That world fast eater.
I know Kobayashi.
The fastest hot dog eater. He Japaneses hot dogs. What he did was they shredded a goat, and he ate it in record time.
To break the curse.
And he broke the curse.
How many records there are for eating goats?
How many times has the curse been broken? Chicago fans know this.
Kobayashi broke it.
But he needs to eat a goat every series. I have to go on record here. I think our listenership is about 1% U.S., okay? If you're not in this room, your chances are you're not.
But
yeah,
I would still understand.
I would understand the
Premier League, where they're going, they're butting heads about whether you're this team or that team. I would totally understand if they were talking about Premier League soccer, football.
Can I get it. Just say something.
That's where we are right now.
Can I say something? Because after you said that, I realized I just said something that probably sounds straight up racist. Because I said Kobayashi's Japanese's eases his food in, and that is an actual term he uses.
Yes.
Because the reason he was the hot dog championship, it just occurred to me, I may have just sounded like I was making a joke that he's Asian. He was the first guy to dip it in water.
Water
so,
to make it
so
go down
normally
faster.
Everybody would eat the hot dog together, bun and wiener.
Right.
He would dip the bun in water, make it like a soggy wet paper towel, throw it down his mouth, and then drop the hot dog in. And he called that technique Japanese-ing it.
Yeah, Sean, we don't need death threats on the show here.
No, okay? I just want to say I wasn't being a straight-up racist.
I think you just confirmed that you were being straight-up racist. The fact that you went into that trademark term, Japanese-ing, that depth of description.
Yeah.
And put you
your
in
knowledge
that.
Done.
Yeah. I have a close personal friend who's a professional eater. So like I,
professional.
I, no, I do,
eater.
And I know more about that world than I should.
Is that CJ?
No.
Don't tell him I said that.
His name is Patrick. His name is Patrick.
I'm just gonna hold this mic.
Dion's broken his mic.
I'm
again.
Just gonna hold this.
No, you, Patrick, you really shouldn't. What are you doing?
Patrick Deep Dish Bertoli is one of my friends.
Deep Dish Bertoli.
Deep Dish.
Yeah.
I love it. That's a great
He holds
name.
The world. It's funny, like, their world records are so specific, and then we can get off this topic, but he holds the world records for most asparagus eaten.
Really?
Because you could just set a world record for some random food that nobody set it for.
So, based on that, does his piss smell shitty? Like,
all the time.
That's terrible.
So that's an interesting, good question. It turns out,
only so many
people have... It's actually a genetic mutation.
Christ. So I have it.
But most men have it. Most men have it. It's only like 15% of men who do not have it. my friend, Patrick Deep Dish Bertelli, does not have that mutation.
So his piss does not smell like asparagus.
Exactly. When so he set the world record, and he's, you know, all for the better for
it. Does that mean that, similarly, when he eats beets all day long, his piss is not pink?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a mutation or not. That's
I think that I think that would be a very good thing to test. You should check that one out. Oh, Dion, what are you doing, for God's sake? Terrible.
Gavin, would you mind helping Dion?
Yeah, you really probably should. We need somebody responsible to help this
out. We should probably mute his mic while he fixes this.
No.
I'm back. I'm back and better than ever. Here we go.
As he fixes this.
Testing 1, 2.
He's back.
That was awful. So let's talk. We introduced. Let's talk email transitions.
This is what I was going to talk about. Yes. Well, I think
this
we're
is
going to
all, this. You this lead. Is all I've wanted to talk about all week.
Well, then share.
Go ahead, Sean.
It's interesting. So, you know, we work at a company where we have a lot of sister companies that want to have one foot in one world technology-wise, another foot in another place. And sometimes the way they try and balance both those and then the email servers can't manage that is like, oh, we'll just create an artificial domain that's for one system. So we'll say, like, say the company is like, you know, Tier Toolworks, but our parent company is like, you know, Michigan. We're Michigan at teeltoolworks.com. So you have like this at, we have a company that has an at in the domain, which is hilarious because I just like that guy who's got a.
So hang on. I you know, the slow guy in the room, Michigan, we are Michigan.com.
So we're Michigan.com, we'll say, and then we'll say we have a sister company called
Toolworks.
Let's just call it. Toolworks, you know,
Toolworks,
you know. So we want to be Michigan at toolworks.com.
Okay, fine.
Is like our reconciliation.
Fine. So I'm Steve.
Yeah.
And I work for Toolworks.
Yes.
So I am Steve at toolworks.com.
Easy email address, remember.
Done.
Easy
Done.
Email address.
Done. John is John at Michigan.com.
Easy.
Done. So what do you say? Where's the confusion?
The problem is now we're merged, right? You know,
yes.
And you know, you need to have a presence in both systems.
Both systems.
But it's not always routable, so you create an artificial domain. John is John at Michigan at toolworks.com.
That doesn't work.
We've actually seen a company do that. Like the actual letter is AT.
So okay. it's at symbol. Name.
John at symbol Michigan at
AT.
Now, AT. Imagine explaining this to somebody.
Company name. So it's at company name AT company name.com.
I can't imagine this on a
two company
business
names.
Card. Like without people
on a business card, it's easy. On a business card, it's easy because you see it and you're like, wow, John, that's weird. But saying it is hard.
Right.
So John's that guy, and John happens to be the CEO of this organization. And John finds himself on the first-class flight across Atlantic, sitting next to CEO of, you know, pickyourorganization.com. And John says, yes, I'm John at Michigan at toolworks.com. And he says, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Come again.
Pardon me.
You can't be.
You know what? Fuck it. Here's my card.
Yeah.
Here's my card. Just type in the letters.
It reminds me so much of level one tech support from the 90s, where you'd be like, ma'am, what's your email address? Oh, no problem. It's www. Dot, like, that's, there's no way. I'm going to stop you right now.
Yeah, ma'am, stop
right
there.
I'm going to stop you right now before. Like this guy's going to say this on the translator. John, I'm just going to stop you right now. You've given me two ats. I'm going to straight up stop you. And you don't know what you're talking about, you know?
But that could work.
Yeah.
Come on.
But I love that we're like,
this
you
is
know,
not
like,
a good introduction.
And what's so funny is, like, imagine just doing it, like, when you. You know, when you buy shoes and like, what's your email address? And you're like, well, I'm John at the actual symbol. Okay. Now we're back to letters. I'm now at again, but I'm at letters. I'm AT. I'm at.
At.
So I need an at sign. I need an A and I need a T. At Michigan. At again.
This works perfectly.
Again with letters. .com. Actual DOT. Dot the word.
Dot.
Dash the word.
And then a period.
It's almost like
period
someone,
the word.
Someone having John
period.
Ampersand AMP semicolon. Yeah. Like oh they're God. Spelling out the ampersand in their email address.
Okay, so
that reminds me of Aaron, though. Aaron always wanted A at Ron dot com.
Yeah. Like phonetically that's like, spell out.
That's yeah. his dream domain. He can't buy it because it's like $100,000. But he wants to be A. At Ron.com.
Do you guys remember how hard it was? It was like one of my favorite memories was how hard it was back in the day when the internet first started for people to just describe email addresses and web addresses. And do you remember that first Super Bowl where the .com bubble was at its highest and all the Super Bowl company, all you know, Pets.com and everything, yep. bought all these Super Bowl ads. And I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast. It was so funny to me because these were ads. They were $1 million for 15 seconds, and I'd say the last half of it was explaining their web URL.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would be remember how they would go? They would go like forward slash, yeah. and they would actually motion a forward slash like a professional wrestler signaling he's dead. You
yes,
know, like
this was
H. Yeah, it was hilarious to me that half the budget was explaining web URLs.
This was at least a year before, if not 2 years before, GoDaddy and we're going to put some babe in front of you. That
yeah,
will,
yeah, this yes. was like, what, like probably like 96 maybe, you know, or something like
yeah.
that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so early days. And do you know what's funny looking back on it is, and I know we were maybe going to get to AOL eventually today, AOL was so far ahead of the competition. Because AOL is what Google was now. AOL just said keyword shoes or whatever.
But I yep. gotta say, so yep. Okay, you brought AOL up. So I was working with a group that built a website. This was outside of this organization. This is a personal group that somebody said we need a website. They built a website. Okay, great. You got a website. And they proceeded to now put up a Facebook page, which is more popular, has more engagement, following, and all. And it's a Facebook page. So what happened is we went from AOL, which was this closed environment, yeah. all AOL, all the time, to the web. And you had to have a web presence. And everybody was all about being
yeah.
open. To guess what? We're back to where we were.
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
We're back
to where
we were.
I really feel like AOL, like, forget domain names, forget, like, HTTP type
protocols.
Facebook
is trying to bring us back to all of
that. And Google's trying to do the same thing. Nobody remembers domain name. You don't actually need a good domain name anymore.
No.
You just need to be famous enough that Google ranks to whatever
your
domain is.
Yep.
You know, and
yep.
it's like, it's all kind of going back to AOL in
yep.
a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
keyword
search. Like this walled garden.
So the whole AOL like conversation was the head of the CIA was hacked this week,
ooh.
And he actually had an AOL account.
Yes, he did.
Which is scary.
Yes.
That someone that high up in our government has an AOL account.
And yet, he has this environment that was like he got it when 20 years
I have no
ago.
Yep.
20 years ago.
But
almost
I,
20 years
I
ago.
I thought about this for a while because we talked about it in our room. We talked about having AOL accounts and Hotmail accounts. Most people have AOL accounts just for spam.
That's what I do.
You
so,
haven't logged
exactly.
into them and
you
never
you actually you give them to
mail in 15 years.
I was probably one of the first AOL subscribers. I have an account that's probably 25 years old.
Do you think it gets... like attestationed?
No, but I'm thinking.
No, never.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Don't even bring that
AOL
word in.
AOL probably has the largest database of spam emails.
Oh,
they
I'm
need
sure
to
right.
ever.
They need to rebrand right. themselves.
Isn't that amazing that they're maintaining these mail folders that we haven't logged into in 30 years?
So AOL needs to be a spam filter company.
And it works.
Because they have the largest database.
Oh, yeah.
But AOL is a Time Warner company, right?
Oh. Yeah.
So it's just a line item on a balance sheet somewhere.
But they have so much hilarious. They have so much analytics. Though.
Anytime anybody says, "Give me your email address and I'll give you blank," I go, "Sure, blank at AOL.com." Done. And I've been doing that for 25 years because we've been on AOL since we had to pay for dial-up service from AOL. So that's what my account is. And if you look in my let me bring it up. I'll tell you right now exactly how many unread messages are in my AOL.
Wouldn't it be hilarious? To like call them with a problem? You know, like I probably haven't logged in since 1996.
There's five
just like, "Hey, Sean Flannery.
We should
do
that.
We got a big goddamn problem.
We should do that next week."
Like, my buddy said he sent me an email.
Almost 500.
And I don't see it.
By the way, I'm not buzzing those anymore, just so you know.
Almost 500 messages in my AOL inbox. That's 499 or spam.
I think I have 14,000 unread in my email.
I mean, I check it and say select all red or delete.
But you actually maintain it.
Well, because I don't like to see that little red thing pop up and say a
thousand. But you're smarter than I am because I'm the guy that like went, "Oh, well, AOL's dying," and I moved to Hotmail, and Hotmail was my spam then.
Now it's Live or Outlook or, sure.
And then Yahoo. It was, Hotmail, I actually tied that to something that is important to me, so Hotmail, I'm not going to use that anymore. Now I'm going to use Yahoo. I'll do, I jumped into some fantasy football league.
Why would you move spam from one place to another? Yahoo. You keep spam in one place, and that's what I've done with AOL. AOL is
right. That's my point. You're smarter than I am.
For like 25 years.
I feel you. Technically, I feel you don't even need a spam account anymore. I feel the spam filters are so good.
Oh my God!
You don't need it.
Nope. I'm gonna have
Gavin
agree for a while.
Oh, for me it is. And what the
Gavin's
thing that I think
laughing
is
at you
because
he doesn't have a mic. I'm gonna tell you. Gavin's laughing at you.
If I go and sign up for a website that I just need to verify an email, like Gmail's amazing about it, where it'll bring that first verify your account email in. You click it, you verify, and then you'll never hear from the guys again, even though they're emailing you.
It's right. Like Gmail you say it's knows, spam.
Gmail knows. Oh, this is a verify email. Bring it in, let him see it, and he'll never hear from them again, you know.
Gmail is probably the best. It's better than our Outlook.
Yeah, I really just I don't feel I need to maintain a spam. I just give him my I give him my real address.
Now. Oh, you're a douche.
No, it never comes to me.
He's not a douche.
Why would you give them your real...
in my actual inbox, Dion.
But why would...
He's There's pure. No way. He's not a douche.
Why do
There's
I care?
No way.
It never comes to my actual inbox. It
Sean,
never comes
all you have to do is
inbox.
Add a 1 to your email address. And you'll never see
that.
You'll
you know,
never
I was thinking about emails. Let's tell that story.
You'll
That's
never
a hilarious story. Can we tell that story?
Go for it.
So... There was a support
just on the subject of emails and
so we had
weird
a person
solutions.
Yeah, exactly. We had a person in our directory who was getting unwanted emails and they had an external email address. I forget the provider, but the solution by our team.
I think it was Gmail, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah. And so our support team basically just added a 1 to their name.
That's fine.
So,
that works.
Hey, it
sure.
fixed the problem, but someone
right.
else in the world.
So, Jay Smith.
Jay Smith.
One.
Jay Smith, one, is now getting all of our corporate communications.
All breaking news, whatever, right. because that's where they were supposed to go.
Because there could not possibly never be a Jay Smith, one, in the world.
At gmail.com, at hotmail.com,
But it fixed
Yahoo.
The problem for Jay Smith at gmail.com.
I love solutions where you're just like, I have to get this off my plate.
Yeah.
And you just, and I look like, oh, really? I thought that would have been hard to filter this person in your corporate solution. And like, no, it was actually really easy.
It's really easy.
You're just sending it to some guy.
I'm sending it to somebody else.
Not even a stakeholder. In
Let's just forward this to somebody.
Just internal email.
Some poor sap.
Totally easy. You'll never hear from him again.
This is how I put it. It's like when the engine light is bad on your car. You pull the fuse.
You pull the light out of it. Yeah.
Pull the fuse so the
light
goes off. It's
easy to fix that problem.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
problem solved.
Some poor sap on the other side of the world
is getting all of our communications,
of
and they
emails.
Complain to me.
How do you? Did that person ever reply like, "Hi, I'm just a photographer in Colorado. I've never heard of you guys."
They did. They did? Said, "Hey, I'm getting these emails. I'm not sure if I should be seeing this stuff."
What do you mean by breaking news?
Yeah. Why don't you click the unsubscribe link, asshole? That we clearly have there.
Why am I in your directory, first of all? And why do I need to change my password every 60 days? So
Dion wasn't here last week, and I'm just curious. What were you doing, Dion? What was up
why
last
were you here?
Oh, boy.
There was some Toledo story. That's all I know.
So last week I took to the road, and I went and saw Motley Crue in Toledo. So that was that's an interesting story because long story short, my best friend and I, who we've been friends for 30 years, decided, you know, let's go see Motley Crue. It's their last tour. And
let our hair down. Let's go.
Let's put our hair down. Let's put the top down on the Camaro and let's fucking drive. And what we did was we went to a Motley Crue concert. We had a great time. And we were supposed to go on this the Crue's Nest, which is essentially a stage at the finale, which goes 25 feet in the air with Motley Crue. And we're on stage with the band, 25 feet in the air, and it's supposed to be amazing and whatever. And what ends up happening to me is we get stuck on the floor looking up at the stage, and we're literally the only 12 people in the entire stadium that can't see what's happening. We're like blocked by the stage. We're under stage. We're what's going on? So the people who put on the show basically said, we're completely sorry. We want to apologize. We want to make it up to you. Go to the show in Toledo and we'll get you seats and we'll set you up in the Crue's Nest and we'll make it right. So my buddy and I, again,
Motley Crue's gonna make this right.
My Motley Crue made it right. So my buddy, who's seen Motley Crue numerous times, I have not seen them, you know, until this show. They're like, come to Toledo. So we drive 4 hours to Toledo. We get there, we see the Motley Crue show. And you guys haven't heard this part of the story, but in the stadium in which the Motley Crue's performing, they actually serve beer in 32-ounce pours.
Wow.
So you say, hey, give me a souvenir cup of Bud Light or whatever they're serving. I don't even know what I ordered.
That's the best they have, yes.
32 ounces for like $9. You know, it's you know, we see Alice Cooper open, we see Motley Crue.
And Alice Cooper opened up for Motley Crue.
Alice Cooper, oh. Yeah, which is a great show, by the way, because that Alice is, Cooper
that's
does
kind
this
of amazing.
Whole...
Yeah.
Alice Cooper, the, I don't know if you guys know this, but so Alice Cooper performs every night for Motley Crue. He opens for them. He puts on this amazing show where, like, a giant Frankenstein comes out on stage, like a 15-foot Frankenstein. He does this guillotine act. He's done by 9:30. And every morning he wakes up and asks everybody in the entire production. He's like, "Hey, anybody want to go golfing?"
He plays like
because he's in bed by like he's in bed by like 9:45
he's a
every night.
Golfer. He's a really good
that's
golfer.
Hilarious.
He plays
so
every...
Alice Cooper is a scratch golfer, and he's like, "Hey, anybody want to wake up at 7 and go golfing?" Anyways, so we're at the concert. We're watching Alice Cooper. Motley Crue comes on, and you know, my buddy and I we're watching the show. We have a great time. And we have a couple beers, and my buddy paid for the hotel. He paid for gas. He paid for everything. And I'm like, listen, I'm just going to buy you beer. I'm going to buy you dinner. I'm treating you. You've done
it's
so
Toledo,
much.
It's Toledo, Ohio. I'll
it's
buy you
Toledo.
The best dinner.
It's Toledo.
So $16.
Whatever, yeah. Johnson's yeah. Full slab of ribs is like $14.99. We're perfect. Great. So, long story short, we get to the end of the show where we hear the song, and it's like, oh, hey, when you hear the song, you head over to the stage that's going to go 25 feet in the air. We'll let you on. We strap you in your seatbelt, and you go up 25 feet in the air with Motley Crue. It's a great time, whatever. So as we're heading to the stage, my buddy realizes I'm holding probably 12 32-ounce cups in my hand. Because they're collector's cups, you know, they're like, you know, whatever. And the woman looks at my buddy and goes, "Are you serious?"
Is he okay? This woman thinks I just drank 12 32-ounce cups of beer, and now I want to go 25 feet in the air with the band where they're like, this dude's going to kill himself or somebody on stage.
Yeah, I mean,
and this woman's like, can you vouch for him?
Sir, Tommy Lee doesn't want you up there. Yeah.
So my buddy Mike looks at me and goes, dude, just drop the cups. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We bought these
cups.
Did
you not look at her and go,
these are our cups. Like, sure, she can hold them, but I want them back. And I'm like, I don't even realize they're like the stupidest cups on earth.
Man, I didn't come from Toledo, Ohio.
I didn't pay $9 to drink a beer and leave the cup here, okay?
Man, I drove a Camaro here, okay?
So she looks at me, she looks at him, she's like, all right. So they basically put me on stage with a handler.
That's called a handicap spot.
You got a handler. Yeah.
You got the handicap spot.
Motley Crue thought you needed a handler.
So Motley Crue was worried about me. I get on a stage that goes 25 feet in the air. I look over at the guy who's supposed to make sure I don't cause any trouble, and I rub his head and I go, you're my best friend. He looked at me and goes, I hope you're having fun. This is almost over. I was like,
it'll be over soon, sir.
It was great. I have amazing video footage of it. The crew came over. I got a bunch of guitar picks. I think I told you guys the rest of the story. I was throwing a bunch down to people in the audience and stuff.
Dion's picks were thrown across the stage.
Anyways,
it's all good.
So it was a very fun time. My buddy Mike basically said, he's like, yeah, I have video of you patting the guy, the handler on the head, going, you're my best friend. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, let's not show that to anybody.
So the best part of that story,
yeah.
And full disclosure, I stepped away. The best part is I stepped away, and he said, long story short. And that was the last thing I heard. And it's like 15 minutes later. Yeah. That's the long story short.
Several podcasts for that story.
I have more of the story. You're lucky that that's long story short. So
I don't want to know what diseases you and your buddies collected.
How many penicillin shots you guys got?
Tommy Lee and I are good friends.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Which girlfriend was there?
Well, he's done with all his celebrity wives, right? I think he's done. He's not with any of those famous people anymore.
No. The thing is, Motley Crue is going to be done at the end of the year. Tommy Lee is going to go off and do his solo career. They're all going to do their solo careers. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much over. But the funny thing is, I've seen Motley Crue 3 times in 18 months. And I'm like, I'm not a big concert goer.
Do you think they're grooming you to maintain the pneumatics on the pit crew or?
Yes, they are grooming Dion.
They're grooming you to take care of it. I feel because it has you're there because it had 2 technical malfunctions, basically, right?
Yes, exactly. So
I think they're really.
I probably know as much about how to put on a Motley Crue show.
Guy with we got a guy.
Wait, he's lived through how much? Yeah,
well, listen,
yeah,
he's Frankfort, Illinois. He can be anywhere in America in his Camaro in about 6 hours. The way he drives.
I get a text on my phone. It says you need to be in North Dakota.
You need to be in Branson, Missouri.
In 8 hours.
Yeah, it's an anonymous text message. It's like, don't ask who this is. True. Just
it's
get
like
to South Dakota.
On your phone, it's like. You know how you get the phone
that's
alerts?
Dion, yes.
So, yeah.
That's what he gets.
Yeah. Sorry,
man.
Honey, I have to go.
I'm needed.
The crew needs me.
The crew nest may not fly this weekend.
In Canton, Ohio.
Oh, dear.
Toledo was an interesting city to visit, though, by the way.
Failed. I'm from that area. It's a weird city.
It's so
interesting. All those cities that used to have money, and now they don't have it anymore. It's very weird.
They have...
When did Toledo have money?
Toledo was the world's biggest producer of glass from 1920 to 1960. Its nickname is the Glass City.
So 1960 is what you're saying.
Yeah, like when that, like basically once
so
automation 55 and
55 years ago.
Yeah, it produced more glass than any other place.
So
in the world.
Owens Corning is a huge. A huge industrial center in Toledo. Owens Corning.
That's amazing detail on when they were big and why they were big. 60 years ago.
Yeah.
60 years ago.
Nothing's happened since then.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like in Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland. It's a bit of that. Like, it's weird because what's weird is they had so much money. They built, like, Toledo's. Toledo's zoo is amazing. It's considered the best city zoo in America.
By who? By everybody in Toledo?
By, like critics. Yes. And, you know, their art museum is great.
By everybody in Toledo.
Like, all the stuff that was built before 1960 is amazing. But then it's like nothing's happened since, you know, and Cleveland is the same way, too. Our art museum's great. So, our symphony is great because of the endowment that they had in the, you know, the 20s or whatever, you know. It's just they're weird cities to be in where you, you know.
I totally get that. I totally get that. So I was talking to a friend who actually lives in Austin.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it was, you know, Austin's big now, right? Austin's
it's almost the opposite, right?
Austin's almost like Hollywood
West or
East. Hollywood, Texas, right?
It's Hollywood East, yeah.
So Hollywood, Texas is Austin. It's big, it's bold, it's everything. And they're talking about actually Nashville. Nashville's pretty cool. Nashville's amazing.
Really? Oh, really?
Yep. Nashville's pretty cool.
The place to be. Nashville.
Where everything's sick.
And I was talking to somebody else, and they were like, seriously, they were telling you that like Nashville is the place?
Yeah.
You realize that Austin was the new Nashville.
Exactly.
Now Nashville is the new, all right, fine, whatever. Nashville is the new Austin, which is the new Hollywood, which is whatever, right? We're in the Midwest. We're in the eastern side of the country. I don't know, what was it New Yorker? Was it New York Times? I read this article about all these people who, like, it was hot Manhattan. And then it was hot Brooklyn, and they moved to Brooklyn because Brooklyn was hot. Hot Queens. And all of them went, you know what? Hot Detroit. They literally left New York.
Detroit is coming back, and
within
people are
within the artist community, Detroit is huge.
Exactly.
Right. I have many friends that moved to Detroit. Like within like the real like kind of like high art. Like I don't want to do anything on the grid. Detroit is huge because you can buy a house for almost no money, and you buy the whole lot, and you can farm it. Like they'll actually tear down the other houses. So that basically it's almost like the 1800s where you got to plot land.
And this is my point.
Yeah.
So pick the most obscure place in the world right now, and it's probably going to be the hottest thing in about 10 years.
Because they keep moving. Well, and then you think about it, I mean, not to explore this thread too much, but you know, you think about global warming, you know, there's all these new reports coming out that global warming is 1,000 times worse than we realize, and that all of the American coasts are basically going to be dead in 20 years. There's just no way we can save them. So then you start wondering, well, where's all the water? The Great Lakes, you know, and Detroit is having this. Like, I almost wonder, is Detroit going to be like the New Orleans of the next century, where all the artists are moving there now?
Yeah,
could be.
Possibly.
It's becoming revitalized and cool. And it's not cool yet, but
it's cutting edge.
Exactly, it's very avant-garde.
Yeah,
you know, and like, is Detroit going to be the New Orleans of the North?
Yeah, and 10 years ago, when I was traveling there. And everybody was going, 15 years ago, when I was traveling there, and everybody was going, it's a shithole, but there's this underground thing.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
I should have bought the whole fucking city. I could have bought the city.
I remember going to see a Tigers game in 2002.
Couldn't have bought the city.
I remember there was a hotel in downtown Detroit. So this is like right after the real estate boom collapsed and everything. And so I guess that actually would have probably been like 2005, actually. But I remember that they had rooms for $2.50 a night in
we
downtown
might have been
there Detroit.
At our office.
John and I stayed there.
Yeah, we were there.
But trees were growing out of the building, okay?
Yeah.
That's how bad this place was.
Out of neglect? Are you serious?
Out of Neglect. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but yeah. The, like literally trees.
In a functional hotel, not an abandoned building.
Trees were growing out of these buildings because the gypsum and whatever was in the yeah. drywall that was in the yeah. building. They were growing out of the
in a hotel you were staying at. For
I business. Don't know that it was actually in a hotel I was staying in, but it,
oh, but nearby. Yes, you know, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was going to tell a side story about you guys talking about the Hollywoods of wherever, but we work with a vendor who actually is based in Hollywood in California, and they did a little road trip last week and went to London in Europe and visited.
Yes, they
some
do.
Other offices, and I said, hey, stop by our office in London and check it out and talk to some people.
Which is in a really run-down part of town. Go on,
right.
John.
So these guys, this guy's from Hollywood, and he visited our office in London.
Knightsbridge.
And he's like, I live in a slum. He was like, this neighborhood in London, which is the most expensive neighborhood probably in the world. It ranks up there with, like, probably Dubai and
yeah probably south of where the office is probably a bit more upscale, which is ridiculous because this is where Harrods is, for God's
yeah,
sake.
Yeah, he's like, I saw, like, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis parked, like, on the street.
did I ever tell the story
parking.
So it was a bit of a while ago, but I was office was in the same location. Me and my family went to the UK. We spent a bit of a tour in the UK, and I'm not sure I ever shared this, but I don't know if you know this, but they drive on the other side of the street.
Sure.
And the other side of the car. And for me, I've done it a couple of times, and I'm like, yeah, I'm driving a car. What's the big deal? I can deal with this. And I'm driving this rental out of London. So we were smart enough. We flew in, spent our time in London, and then we were going to drive out to the country. Well, I was in that neighborhood.
Yep.
That very neighborhood.
Yep.
Rented a car. Picked up my family. We were all good.
Picked
we
up your Lamborghini.
Heading out. No, it was a piece of shit. Right? It's a little Renault of some sort. Like they call it a people mover. It was a minivan, but like a short sub minivan from our perspective in the U.S. It was a little car, but it was still big enough that would support 5-6 people. All right, we're going to stop here. We want to pick this up. We want to do this. Well, I had to, so I'm on the wrong side of the road from my perspective. I had to, like, make this corner turn. Fucking, it was an Aston Martin. It was an expensive car. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I clipped it.
Oh, no way.
I totally clipped it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I totally, and my wife's going, Steve, you hit that car. And I go, no, I didn't.
Go.
Keep on going.
Go.
Go.
Go. Get to the embassy.
Get away. Get the chopper ready.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hit anything. I'm just gone.
Get her passports out.
Did totally the Aston Martin stop? Did you?
No. No. He was parked. It was a parked car. Okay. It was a parked car. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I totally
the real
hit
estate
him.
In this neighborhood is very tight. So,
I'm sure.
I mean, they
sure,
take
yeah.
every advantage to park in
everything.
It's really yeah. bad. I would never want to drive there. I would never.
Driving on the wrong side yeah, of yeah. the car and the wrong side of the road, I had that moment of, whoop, I just cut that a little too close. Sorry. Meanwhile, never chase me down. I'm good. I'm safe.
I lived for a few weeks with these hippie girls. After my old place was
like
condemned and before I got engaged to Jess on this, it was a beautiful street. It's Orchard Avenue in Chicago.
3 weeks after you married or you
before,
met Jess?
Before I got engaged. So we were engaged, but we weren't ready. Uh-huh. Our lease was about to start, and I lived with these two super hippie girls that wouldn't let me use the microwave. They thought I brought a microwave in. And they're like, we might want to have kids someday, and we don't need vibes. They called it vibes. So that's, but anyways, it was this beautiful, like super old street, and it's right on, I don't know if you guys, and I'll try and explain this well for people, that there's this old fire station on Halstead and Diversey, and then there's a super old road called Orchard that is like super narrow, and it's like almost cobbled. But anyways, the fire department would take that as a shortcut, and you would just hear, boop, 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 and they would just knock off every rearview mirror on the street as they would go. And you would walk out, and there would be rearview mirrors on your lawn.
Oh, no.
Almost like dead butterflies or something like that. And they to this day, they do it every day. It's hilarious.
That's pretty good. So I shouldn't feel bad is what you're saying.
No, I don't think you should. I think that's part of city. In my opinion, if you live in the city and you don't learn to put your rear view mirror in.
Sure. But to John's point, I mean, Bentleys and Lamborghinis and all of these ridiculous cars are right there on the road.
Yeah, that's amazing that you are comfortable to park street park that.
Those are bad cars in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Wow.
But I, at the same time, I think they walk out and they go, yeah, I got a little ding. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'm so
you know
rich,
what?
I'll turn it in.
2-3 weeks, I'll get a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they're the 1%.
Yeah.
Right there.
So can I do my vendor scum for the week?
Oh, you have one?
Yeah, please.
I have a couple.
And now we bring you vendor scum of the week.
So it's our friend from last week, Sean. Well, I'm not going to say his last name. So he says... circling back with you about my previous email offer, our local storage team wanted to chance offer you a reconfigured disc-propelled drone and discuss why Pure's all-flash solution has changed the industry. So this guy's going to give us a better drone.
A better drone now.
Thank God you didn't say yes.
Yes, because they have a better drone now.
Didn't you also have a guy that tied into the Cubs? Yeah, have you
talked
about that
same
on the
guy,
podcast?
Same guy. He every week.
No, well, I thought this guy was the guy that showed your ability to pilot. Oh, it's the same guy.
Same
who
guy
does it every week.
Yeah, it's the same guy. His name's Sean.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So, and then I have one more. This guy used so many buzz terms, I was lost. Says, dear John, harnessed properly, big data makes it possible to achieve a 360 degree view of customers, prospects, and partners, uncover fraud quality, upsell and cross-sell relevant services, and a lot more.
John, I think I shit myself.
Exactly. But if you have data silos, your data is quite simply not actionable.
Not actionable. That's awesome.
Holy
data
crap.
Data silos, not
but,
actionable.
But to be, fair, to be fair, this guy is ahead of the curve because... we don't want data silos. We want data horizontality.
Yeah, this guy,
he's got the wrong buzzword there.
Totally the wrong buzzword.
Yeah, this guy is great. So that's our vendor scum of the week.
Vendor scum of the week.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much. Oh, God.
Anything else?
So did anybody see the Star Wars trailer? So hang on.
Wait a minute.
I am a Star Wars fan. I have not seen the Star Wars trailer, and I'm the guy who's, like, specifically not seeking it out. I'm not looking for it. I was talking to somebody earlier who was saying, no, seriously, like, when it was coming out, I was, like, hitting refresh on Twitter.
Well, I'm
constantly trying to find...
But you know your wife has already bought you T-shirts and...
No, not T-shirts. She's made us T-shirts. No, no. She has bought us tickets,
which I'm jealous of. I want to go see it.
So
we're
going to go see the opening night show.
Yes, but buy your Star Wars tickets in October if you want to see it in December.
Yeah. But I have not watched the trailer. Who's seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer.
We've all seen it.
It's a good. This is my opinion. I think every movie J.J. Abrams has done has been weak to bad, and I think I will hate this new movie. But I'm the biggest Star Wars fanatic. And this is the thing about J.J. Abrams. I'm like, oh, man, he knows how to make a good... All his movies have amazing trailers. And I'm like, I don't know what to think. I'm like, this trailer looks great, but all his trailers look great. And then I see the movies, and they suck.
Did you like any of the Star Trek stuff?
No, I thought they were all terrible. I think every movie he's done is
atrocious. Come on, oh, my God. Really?
That's my opinion. Well, that's my opinion. I think he has a very strict template on everything.
So we've asked for this before, but listeners, is Sean right? Are like J.J. Abrams stuff like in the tank? Because I think the consensus here.
35 millimeter. Like he's got.
I like the 35 millimeter. That movie I actually like.
The consensus here is he's wrong. So listeners.
And that's fine. And that might just be my opinion.
You know.
That might just be my. But I feel like you're. But you also. Gavin's on record. Lucas,
Gavin's
though.
With Sean.
No,
like
you
George
don't.
George Lucas did the original Star Wars. He did Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, so it's like. Even
wait,
you guys
wait.
Would have to.
George Lucas?
George Lucas wrote all the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Nope.
George Lucas
nope.
wrote the Raiders
nope.
of the Lost Ark.
Nope. Nope. Look it up. Who's?
We're going to fact check this.
Come on.
He wrote them.
Somebody look it up. No, he didn't.
I got it.
Lawrence Kasdan wrote.
Lawrence Kasdan wrote the screenplay off George Lucas's original script.
This is true.
Ooh.
Yeah. George Lucas wrote
Gavin
Raiders
is
of
saying
Lost
yes.
Ark. Lawrence Kasdan wrote the screenplay. George Lucas wrote the script.
The screenplay by Lawrence Kasdan was from a story by George Lucas.
Oh!
Wait, wait, shh. By a story.
By George Lucas.
Who?
George Lucas and Philip Kaufman.
Kaufman.
Well, but I mean.
Yeah, George Lucas is a fucking genius. People like shit on him now because of the prequels, but people have no idea everything he created, in my opinion.
We should be happy to have his museum on our lakefront.
I am so excited for that museum. I really am.
But has that sorted itself? So
well, the
George Lucas Museum
yes
is supposed,
sorry, topics there,
supposed
but yeah.
to be in Chicago.
In Chicago
yes. yes. So the city council said yes.
Yes, but now there's state stuff that has to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the
it
problem
looks
is,
like it's probably going to happen.
You know, I got to be
did
honest
not know.
With you.
I always gave Lawrence Kasdan huge kudos.
Lawrence Kasdan's an amazing talent as well.
Incredible.
An amazing
incredible.
Talent.
Incredible.
But George Lucas is a genius. And I think he's like Spielberg, where he just always sees that whatever the next step is in entertainment.
So as the counter voice to that, Jar Jar Binks. Who created Jar Jar Binks?
That's an amazing... But, you know, Lucas is weird, though, where
so,
Lucas will... A lot of times, know what the story needs to be, and I feel like the
he has the vision,
but he has to give it to a good director.
Yeah,
and I feel if he
don't.
Doesn't give it to a good director, it can misfire.
Yeah,
the Jar Jar Binks intention was at a time where he was very close with his family, his children were growing up, and he wanted to make sure he incorporated the next generation into the movies.
Well, and it could have been
because,
in the right director's hands.
Right.
I feel that could have been an
yes.
interesting character.
Yes.
But it was not in that person's hands.
They did it wrong.
Yeah.
But the story that was written wasn't horrible.
Agreed.
Jar Jar Binks was not meant to be a character that you hated. It was meant to be a character that you actually loved.
If they just did the voice a bit
they
different.
They really tried to do another R2.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about that. That was not a horrible misstep.
No.
Across the board, it was a tweak here and there.
Exactly.
Executed improperly, written probably to be the next R2-D2. Like, you look at this new droid that they want to,
exactly.
like, sell.
Yeah.
Are they going to sell that
so,
as the next R2-D2?
So, this is
so,
my point.
You know.
So, as much as you've said about Abrams and where this goes from here, if this turns into, you know what? They nailed it.
That'd be great, yeah.
There was this character.
Yeah.
The characterizations were good.
Yeah.
All of it was good. The story was good. Who wrote the story?
I don't know. I've heard it's like... I don't know. I've heard it's an amalgamation of different, like, extended universe stories. I've heard it's like Christopher Nolan's Batman thing, where he took a lot of the books.
I think
he liked.
Abram owns it.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. That's a good question, you know.
They didn't take anything from the extended universe per se.
Well, they took the character, like a lot of, like that Sith guy I've heard is from the extended universe.
They took some names. They took like the Seventh Sister and they're building her into the Rebels, and they're going to take some of the dark characters and move them forward. But the extended universe wasn't necessarily the canon.
They wiped it clean.
And the funny thing is,
Nolan did with Batman too, right? He took what he liked off like five different books, and he just said,
"Yep,
I'm combining what I like." And
you know,
this is it now.
Yeah.
And the third Batman would have been different if we had a Joker that existed.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My biggest concern is if we have the Lucas Museum in Chicago, we're gonna have stormtroopers walking around the streets. all the time. I mean,
and what's your concern there?
We're going to have...
yeah, and people, where's the problem?
We're going to have people flying in from all over the world, just like they do for Disney with you know, mouse ears.
Yeah. Love that, man. I think it'd be great.
I think the Lucas Museum is going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be great. You know?
There's actually some print art that I love where they've got... they mix in like TIE fighters and X-Wings and AT-ATs walking down Lakeshore Drive.
My concern is...
like crashing in the middle of Grant Park.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing. And sure. This was done before... the Lucas Museum was ever even like thought of. And those print arts to me are like, oh man, I gotta spend the money because those things are so amazing. Can you imagine, like, there's literally a really nice graphic of an AT-AT walking down Lakeshore Drive in Chicago.
But we're gonna have people in Chicago shooting people in Chewbacca suits.
It's like, you mean our real guns?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, I saw a big furry beast in his suits and I shot it.
I don't know if he's
So, conceal and carry.
That's a real concern in Chicago.
Would it be so bad for our society, Chicago society, to get a little weird and become accepting of the fact that, you know what, it was just a fucking Chewbacca.
It was a Wookiee, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Come on.
I'm not going to shoot that guy.
Suspect.
Let the Wookiee win.
2 inches, hairy, nude.
We should totally adopt that.
Yeah.
Just take that on.
Might as well. I'm sure Rom will tax it somehow, so it'll be good.
Well, they're giving him land for free, but
exactly.
I don't know. I'm sure his friends will make a lot of money off that.
Yep.
But I hope it happens.
Well, we should probably wrap up. It's been a little bit. Do you guys have anything else?
Gavin, anything to say?
I had a story planned, but you know what? Since we're wrapping up.
No, let's
come on.
Bring it.
Throw the mic his way. Come on.
Give us a topic.
Yeah. Once again, Gavin says.
We'll save it for next week.
I've got something, but no. Well, I appreciate that. So we're the Worldwide IT Guys. WWITGuys.com. Check us out on podcast on iTunes, and thank you for listening.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Good night, y'all.